There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to My Millennial Career. My name is Shelley Johnson. I'm an HR consultant, and we're back for part two of Unsolicited Career Advice, Lachlan Bradford and Rob Hicks. Today's episode, we're answering some questions from listeners. We're giving a twist on it that they may not expect. So I guess it's kind of solicited, but for many people listening, it might feel unsolicited. Take of that what you will. Lachlan Bradford and Rob Hicks are from Funny Business Podcast. They're good friends of the show, and they're just the best. You're going to love it. Let's do it. Welcome to My Millennial Career. My name is Shelley Johnson, and I'm joined again by Lachlan Bradford. Hey, Loch.
Hello.
And Rob Hicks. Hey.
Hey, Shel. Really awkward. Hey?
Part two. It's part two, baby.
It's part two.
Stop saying baby.
I love it. So today, unsolicited career advice part two. And we are going through a bunch of listener questions that were sent through on the Facebook community. But before we do, we have a cool announcement. We're doing a collab, Funny Business and Bold Side. Rob, take it away.
I'll take it away. We're going to be running a couple of workshops called Culture and Clarity. So if you want to align your teams and make sure that people know what they're doing on a day-to-day basis and how it fits into the bigger picture, and if you want to get your culture sorted so that you're going to hit the ground running and get the most out of your people, get in touch because we're excited to do some good things. Ever since we started hanging out and talking and chatting and meeting through the pods, we realized we're playing in the same sort of space. So we're really excited and pumped to be teaming up to do some cool stuff together and looking for the right type of companies who want to have a bit of fun in their workplace but also make sure they're going to get some shit done.
Love it. So we'll have a link in the show notes. You can find out more about how to get in touch with us. All right, I'm going to just hit you with the questions. Either one of you can jump in. Okay, number one, Josh. Josh is a frequent question asker and he has the best questions actually. So he has asked, advice on how to slow down and avoid burning out, i.e. tips to approach career growth and success in a way that won't lead to a full head of grey hair by the time you're 30.
I think you've got to experience burnout to see how far you can push it. So go as hard as you can and then you go, well, that's the limit and I won't do that again. It's like stepping over the line. Is that good advice or is that bad advice?
I had grey hairs at 21 and by 30 I had a good amount of grey hairs on the side of it, so maybe not the best person to comment on this question.
Silver fox, that's what we call that. Neither of you want to comment on this question? Have either of you experienced burnout?
I have.
My whole life's burnout. I'm always jaded and tired.
And emotionally detached.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in burnout for 2 years.
I think it's tricky. Like, if you really want something, this is like, it's a funny way of putting it, but the truth is it's like if you set yourself goals and you're trying to like, you are a career-driven person or you have ambition to be more than what you're doing now or like it's a really hard thing to weigh up of like the living in the now and enjoying the present versus always feeling like you'll be happier if you get to the next thing or the pressure will be off or you'll be able to achieve what it is and that'll be good.
If you want to escape parts of your life, just work harder. Bury yourself in the work.
I went through like a burnout. I had to have 3 months off work and I could not get out of bed.
Really?
It was really rough.
You found your limit.
I found my limit, exactly. And I've talked about it a little bit on the pod, but it was probably the worst 3 months of my life, I reckon. Like, it was so rough. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I'll ever be able to work again. Like, I was so not well. And I have those tendencies like workaholism and very driven person. And I think what happened was I just didn't listen to my body. Like, I reckon there were signals way earlier. And my whole thing now about when I think about burnout isn't like a suddenly moment. And a lot of people throw burnout around, like, I'm burnt out. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just tired. Like, you're not burnt out. Like, burnout is a full-on hectic experience. And if you've been through it, you know it's quite debilitating. And I reckon it's more of a slow burn. So it happens over, I think, years. It can be in the making. And that's why when people talk about burnout now, I don't know that we've got a really clear definition on what it actually is, but it's not just tiredness or fatigue. I think it's way more than that, in my opinion. It's that feeling of, I don't just need like a weekend off or a week off. Like, I need time to fully recover. Like, my body is like, has been telling me for ages, hey, something's not right. And I've just ignored it for so long. And now all of a sudden I've hit the wall and can't get out of bed.
Physiological symptoms are some of my like things when I'm looking for and going, realizing I'm maybe burning the candle at both ends a little bit. If I'm not sleeping well, or if I'm having like, I'm waking up with the sweats, or I've got anxiety before going to bed, or I'm having like, I can really notice the difference between if I'm in a good mental space or not, usually to do with stress, or even with what we're doing, it's hard not to feel the anxiety of adrenaline that comes throughout. Like, if you have a cool day and yet like you've been busy and things are happening, you don't really like, it's, if you don't sort of lower that down a little bit each day, like if you had that pump through your body all the time, it's like you can really start feeling a bit weird. And you're saying you come off an hour's sleep doing this because before this episode, like...
That's totally an outlier now. Like, I have heaps more disciplined practices as a result of that experience. Like, I sleep heaps more. I don't work as late at night. I still work a lot, I think, but I've gotten more disciplined because I know I can't, now that I run my own business, I'm like, I can't have that. Like, I was an employee at the time. My work were amazing. They really supported me. They got me like a really good like mentor that helped me through that terrible process. But now I look back, I'm like, there's no physical way I could go back. I could have that happen again, because when you have kids and you just can't afford to, or even if you don't have kids, most people can't afford to have 3 months off.
Oh, no, 100%. My sister has this, she actually was pretty sick growing up, and in through her teenage she had chronic fatigue, and I had thinking about like energy in, energy out. I had a really, my mum explained it to me to try and understand what she was going through, and she just, simple as, hey, I've got 10 marbles in my pocket. Think of that as my daily energy. And if I choose to go out and see my friends, I might choose, give you 5 marbles for the day, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to start the next day with 10. It might mean wow. That it takes time for your energy to recharge, and learning to, what is your in and out. And we have a question on our pod that we've asked the whole time of like, what do you do to get some energy back in your life? And I think that's such an interesting thing where people now, like everyone's so like in that work-dominated, career-dominated, like thinking and pausing about what gives you energy in your life and what makes you happy, what fills your cup up a little bit. And
I reckon it's been the most common theme on our podcast is with guest episodes, like burnout. I feel like 95% of the people who have interviewed or had a chat with on our pod have experienced some form of burnout before. And that's what we keep saying. That's why I have the tussle in my head all the time. It's like, do you have to go through that to get to that result that you want, or do you have to? So I'm constantly thinking about that personally myself.
I wonder as well, like, I know that a lot of research around burnout talks about high achievers burnout, and like the people that you're interviewing, like really successful entrepreneurs on your podcast, Funny Business, they're the types of people that burn out. Like, I think that to me suggests, well,
set lower goals.
Is that what you're saying? 4-day work weeks.
4-day work weeks. The other thing I'm really interested in the last 10 years, because like the World Health Organization have only recently released burnout as a condition, and they're now acknowledging that this is a health condition that people go through. I'm wondering as well if the rise of dual income families have made that more common, because like when I was growing up, I don't know what it was like for you guys, it might have been totally different, but my mum didn't work, my dad worked, and there was more margin in family dynamics where someone had more space, whereas now I think most people have full-time jobs, both partners have full-time jobs, they might have kids, and so there's no space, like there's no, and cost of living going up, like I just wonder how all these things have led to this crisis of more people talking about burnout.
Oh, 100%. I never knew my mum having a job growing up, but she works now, but like before that she was working all different types of jobs. But I remember her being home all the time pretty much, you know, so always having that support and always people around, you know, like our house is very social, you know, so having people around all the time, that was cool. I forgot what I was talking about. What are we talking about? Burnout.
Well, my mum was a bit the same. She was a teacher by trade, and so I think she went back full-time work maybe when I was like 7 or 8, but or part-time after that. But again, like, yeah, dad worked I was, mum was home and did different stuff. And now I think that now, like, my partner, Em, she's just gone to work for the first time since having a kid. And just, like, that's a big jump in itself, and trying to learn and juggle and balance all the things, plus work never stops. It's, I think it's a weird, the whole burnout and the state of the world at the moment, I think there's a lot of people feeling the pinch.
Any advice, when you say energy in, energy out, any advice on how you guys re-energize?
For me personally, I like going for daily walks. I've been doing it since I was like maybe a kid, definitely a kid. I was about 11, 12, I reckon. Doing the daily walk for an hour, listening to music, exercise. Now that I think about it now, I haven't gone for a walk in ages, listening to music. And that's why I've been so flat maybe lately, because I haven't gone out and done that. And I've been aware of it, just moved into a new place and it's construction and shit everywhere. So it's not beautiful Torquay like it was. It's a little bit different. But for me, it's just about space, like we've spoken about before. It's like I need time to think. If I can blank out like 3 hours in a work week or whatever to just think about something, that actually helps me.
What about your baths?
Yeah, I do like baths, yeah. We want to mention it again. I mention it on every pod, I reckon. I love a bath.
When someone talks about energy in, energy out, I've never heard of an adult male take as many baths as you.
Sometimes two in a day, especially when I'm highly stressed. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to derope.
He's dead working set from the bath. He's got the lappy in there.
Dead set.
Yeah.
No bubbles, just still, yeah?
No bubbles. You can see everything. I go in there till everything's wrinkled and it's like not even hot. I'm just sitting there in a cold bath. All that jaded
sounds
like, and
sad. That's like my worst nightmare.
The floaties on.
But I guess we all re-energize in different ways.
What about you, Rob?
Are you a two bath a day person?
Nah, I'm not a two times baths a day. I was disconnecting from socials. I like getting out and going surfing, or I've been getting back into exercise a little bit and just finding. I think it's now that I've now a dad, it's like I didn't realize how much I needed just 45 minutes, and getting a sweat up actually helps to clear the brain a little bit.
Yeah.
But
you love watching Coco Melon. That's your
I used to watch way more TV. And yeah, I miss watching TV. I still watch it at night, but I feel like my thing that I used to do to get energy back was like I just pumped through a whole season of something like in one sitting. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I need to chill out. I watch 6 hours of TV back to back. And now it doesn't really.
He loved TV. You used to
I love TV.
When we lived together, you'd be in your room on the weekends just watching TV.
Just chilling, watching TV.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Door shut, candles on. It was weird. By himself.
We had paper thin walls, so I could hear Locke next door in the bar.
Twice a day. I think it's really interesting with energy management as well, how you sometimes the things that give you energy, you have a resistance to. So like for me, I know I like going on daily walks, but sometimes there's like a level of resistance to even just getting there. And I know it's like a good thing for me to do. I know I feel heaps better afterwards. It's like exercise as well, that whole dynamic of you do feel better, but it takes a certain level of energy to even do the thing that's going to give you energy, which is kind of weird. It's like annoying that it's like
psyching yourself into it to be like, oh, we have to do it today.
Yeah. I'm a real sucker. Like sometimes I can get really into something for a while. So if it is exercise, or I remember I've had stints at doing golf or whatever.
You're very yo-yo.
I'll do it and I'll be smashing it. You know, like I want to be,
if you're doing golf, something, you do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah. But if I decide that today I don't want to do it, I could easily go from doing a 3 month stint of like every single day of doing it. And then I'd be like, oh, I'm not doing it today. And then like,
You can justify it in your mind.
And I'll never do it again. You know, like, and I'm like, oh, I like doing that. Why did I stop? No reason. Just it fell out of the routine. Habit. The habit disappeared and I could lose a habit in a day. It's the worst.
You know what? The discipline of doing like daily habits like walking. I keep thinking about the baths.
I just need to remember to drink water, go for a walk, see some sun.
Well, you should do that tomorrow. I mean, it is freezing at the moment down here in Melbourne. Okay, next question. Lachlan has asked, best resources for information and any hints or tips to be efficient from the beginning?
That was actually me. I sent in that question.
Yeah, Lachlan's like teeing this up.
Rob, come on. You got this one?
No, you go. I want to hear what you have to say.
No, I want to hear what you got to say. Come on.
All right, I would say start with building a strong team around you. So it doesn't have to be a team. As in, if you're a sole trader, find the people that you trust. So small business, get a good accountant, find some people that not mentory type people, but someone who might have been there, done that before in your industry or outside your industry. Focus heavily on relationships, especially if you're a sole trader. Like relationships are going to be your key to winning new work, retaining clients. And I'd say don't try and grow too quick.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting one. Can you tell me more?
I think sometimes people get stuck, especially in startups, of like starting something new. You're like, I want 1,000 clients. You know, well, do you need 1,000 clients? Can you service 1,000 clients? Do you know what it would take to...
Or get 50 good ones in that area and you don't need 1,000.
Or if you scale it right back, it might be 5. You know what I mean? Like if you're a sole trader and you I don't know, you're mowing lawns or doing something, you're like, all right, well, how many lawns do I need to live a happy life? How many do I need before I need to hire someone else? Like think about some of the steps that would be that would help you in your actual growth of the business. And then, I don't know, I feel like it's
unrealistic. Reputation's everything, I think.
Unrealistic expectations.
That,
yeah. Unrealistic expectations. Don't you have to put them on? You don't have to have that. It's already hard enough running your own business. So strap in for the highs and the lows,
yeah,
like you mentioned
up.
In the last episode. But I think it's realistic expectations.
I like that. Yeah, concur. Touche.
That's all you got? That's what you bring to the table?
Well, I just think.
What about brand marketing? Any got any strengths? What do you got?
I just think YouTube. YouTube, do our workshop and you'll find out all the answers. But honestly, there's the internet exists now. So. Honestly, research, do your own thing and figure it out, because I feel like that is life, isn't it? Just figuring it out one step at a time.
Were you going to say something?
No.
I'm looking for the next question.
You like that one?
Just looking for a bit of help.
You didn't like that advice?
Anyone, advice? Yeah, I don't know.
I thought that was a zinger.
I thought it was good. Yeah. I was reading the questions for the next question. Hold on. I got it, because there was a follow-on question that was related. Okay, next question is... This is a good question for you both, because I know you both come from tech backgrounds. Lee Riri asks, is formal qualifications worth it anymore in the age of disruptive technologies?
Yeah, well, you went through a traditional pathway and I didn't. So we're kind of opposites a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, I think it's a weird mix. I think in the past you needed to get you had to have a formal qualification to be able to put your hat in the ring. And I think that that's changed now. It's like if you can build some amazing case studies and you can demonstrate maybe your experience through your portfolio of work and you've got people to back you up what you're doing and you can learn by new skills. And you mentioned YouTube before. And
some industries, like you, like a doctor, I want my surgeon to really get his...
He's gone through school.
Yeah. I don't want him to YouTube like how to do open heart surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want that. You know,
there's a time and place. But
go to school, please.
In tech specifically, like Lachlan and I mentioned, like I went traditional pathway. I did an undergrad in business management and a master's in international business. And I look back now and I didn't know people to get into... Like I didn't know anyone. So I felt like that was the pathway I had to do. And it opened the first door for me, which allowed me to start my career. So without actually doing that, it wouldn't have got the start in my career. But I think that I've done a lot of stuff like paying it forward, trying to help other people come through, and whether they don't have the same background, but you're like, I know this person could do that job. I think it's, you know, like you said, it depends on the actual job. But in tech specifically, I don't think it's necessary. You can do a lot of short courses. There's a lot of stuff that you can upskill. But like a basic understanding is always helpful. What do you guys think?
With recruitment, I feel like I fell into that. That was my first job.
Every recruiter says I fell into recruitment.
Yeah. I haven't, you're right. I've never met anyone who said, hey, I grew up and I want to be a recruiter. But I was always interested. I remember having a recruiter experience on the other end. I thought I was applying for the job at the place, but they actually had a bunch of jobs for me and I didn't understand that whole relationship.
You didn't know why people didn't like you at the start.
Well, that's why we started the podcast in the first place, because I was like, no one really likes recruiters sliding into their DMs all the time, annoying them. And I was like, oh, this is my first sort of foray on LinkedIn as well. So I was like, how do I show off who I am without being too pushy or just, you know, just...
Why can't they just like me for me?
Yeah. I don't have any problems at the bar. You know what I mean? Here's a free beer. You like me now. You know what I mean? But found it different. I feel like it's finding what you're good at. Like what we've all been saying is like the soft skills. And it's like, if you're an organized person and you do certain things, like that sort of leads you in that path. But for me, it was like people focused stuff. So, if I was ever going to get into it, on my 28th birthday, I actually went in for the job. So it's not like I've been doing it since I was like early 20s or I knew what I wanted to do.
Things like General Assembly are great. I think they've got a bunch of things that you can learn that's like online stuff, or you can do like one-day courses, or there's some like three-month intensives which helps give you placements afterwards. One thing I would say if you're trying to get in somewhere, someone who's done a career change into a different space, is you're like got to prepare to maybe cop it a little bit on you're probably going to get paid less, or if you're going to be like, and you have to prepare for that. Mm. If you're going to change career and you know that I'm going to have to maybe do a few weeks unpaid to show that I can demonstrate that I can do it before I get the trust to offer it, and I might not start at the same wage as someone who's already had the experience doing it. But if that's what you want to do, then...
Starting from the bottom again, you might be if you're changing industry and stuff, you know.
It's also really interesting at the moment, and it'll probably shift over the next 6 months, but at the time of recording, we've got a really low talent supply because the unemployment rate is low right now. And maybe not in tech, but just generally, let's talk general labour market, what's happening. Like, we are seeing more recruiters at the moment and more employers be open to career changes because the people who are applying are good at selling their transferable skills. I think that's cool for anyone like our age who's probably thinking about, oh, I think I want to do something different, because employers and recruiters are more open to helping those career changes happen because they can't find good talent. So it's kind of a unique spot. Now, that might not be the case for tech because we've seen lots of redundancies and layoffs and all that stuff. But generally speaking, employers are more open, in my opinion, to transferable skills, which is really cool. Like, I think we need to up the ante on how do we sell the skills that we have that might not be job specific, but they're like our people skills or our strengths that we can bring to different roles.
I think if you've gone through COVID and haven't had a chance, and you've been in a job or in the same industry for a period of time and haven't had a chance to stop and reflect and think, is this what I really want to do? Like, take that opportunity to think, like,
And it's how you communicate your value too. Like, if you're going to a new place, it's all about how you present yourself and how you want people to perceive you, you know? So if you're going in, I know if you're solving a problem for a company and you want to get your foot in the door and you're giving them options that, hey, I've saw what you're trying to do and you can show that intent behind things, I think you're more likely to get shot. So it's like intentional shit, I think. It's like being super intentional with what you want to do and showing the care and love and attention to detail, because I think it does matter.
It's like, even I know, like, I don't like really love cover letters. It's not like people who have to apply like that. But again, like, if you have to go through that pathway, you know how some people have really lackluster in their applications. Oh, I've applied for 40 things and no one's got back to me. Oh, well, you didn't put any care in any of the applications. So,
and when you get in the call,
are you
back,
surprised
you're like,
you haven't got the call back?
Who is this? I've applied to 30 other families this week. You know, that's in that meme. It's like, that's funny, isn't it? It's like, who's this? Where's this place again? I'm right for tomorrow. Can do the interview. Yeah.
I love it. That is so good. Okay, next question. Helena, not really a question, but would like some insight about juggling a full-time role with potentially considering part-time or contracting consulting services on the side. What do you guys think about that? So side hustle kind of vibes.
For in what sense, like, is it okay that you've got a side hustle, or is it okay that your work's going to let you do a side hustle? Because they're the two things that I reckon that people come up against is, we're all for side hustles. Have a crack. I think there's a lot of time in a day where you don't need to be chained to your desk for one job. If you work full-time somewhere, there's still a lot of hours left in your life to have a crack and have a play with something else. But I think it's important that you are transparent with what you're doing so that people know the boundaries between, hey, if we were running this pod, we both had jobs at the time, we're very conscious that we recorded pods inside and outside hours. And if we did have something in the day, we made up for what we were doing. It's not like...
It's not eating into... If I know that you're eating into our time and we're paying you and you're doing...
As well as not instead of.
Yeah.
It's interesting as well, because I think it's not just eating into the time. It's eating into your ability to focus on your main gig. So like, from a HR perspective, if an employee who's full-time comes to me and says, hey, I'm going to start my own business on the side, I'm like, great, do your thing. Like, go for it. Pursue fun stuff outside of work. But when it starts to damage your performance in your main role, well, that's a conversation that needs to happen, that we need to have, because I don't think it's reasonable to put that on your employer to go, I'm going to pursue my fun thing over here at your expense. Like, you have to be able to do both things well.
I found it weird with recruitment and the podcast, you know, like the value changed because it was like, well, hang on, we're talking to all these business leaders all the time, and I felt like I wasn't getting used in the right way, but it's like maybe I didn't communicate the value enough, you know, from my end.
It's very early. We didn't know what it was going to be shaped into, Who could have thought what the pod would be now?
yeah. So I just – and time and things change, you know, and it's like at the end of the day, everyone's a bit selfish, aren't they?
I'm with you, Shell. If you're starting something and spending a lot of time and it's detrimental to the overall success of your main gig that's paying you, giving you holidays, looking after you, you're expecting – them to bring your birthday cake on your birthday and that, but you don't want to turn up and do the actual work. Again, I think everything comes down. If you do a good job, you get – good players get better leeway, don't they?
Always.
They do, totally. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break, and when we come back, I've got two more questions for you. If you want to grow in your career, I just wanted to remind you about our book, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money. Glenn James and I have written this book to help you with any kind of career crisis, but also those things that you want, like getting a promotion, making more money, moving into a leadership role, or if it's time to quit your job. You can find our book wherever you get good books from, or you can listen on the audiobook, Sort Your Career Out and Make More Money. Now let's get back to the show.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This question is from Tammy. If you were a lawyer and you were looking for a shift, what are some of the industries or jobs that might fit well with similar skills? Or if you work in the car part industry, what would be an industry or job that might align if one was interested in the shift?
Tammy, I feel like there's two questions there.
I know. Yeah. I was like, that's a part two.
Well, maybe there's one. I don't know. Lawyers, I automatically think like attention to detail, ability to consume.
They keep time, don't they, every second of the day?
Yeah, they charge you for it too. Yeah. They click that.
I'll be asking long questions, talking really slow.
I'll be wanting as much context as possible from the client about everything.
Take me back. What happened before that, though?
Take me back 5 years. Let's go there.
We're going to need 15 sessions.
Like the bottom of this, it's like a Cairo.
Yeah. You're going to be sore for years.
And you book him in advance. 50% deposit. Sorry, Tammy. Hey, respect lawyers. No, I think it's one of those, they're super detail orientated. They're very like, can consume large chunks and go through, like their brain has the ability to digest lots of information. I think maybe anything to do with like operations and coordination of like running things. I've seen a lot of people now of, was just taking the piss out of me before, but one of my best mates is a lawyer who's had the same thoughts of, doesn't really see his identity, doesn't want to feel like a lawyer, feel like he has other stuff he wants to give, and he doesn't always want to be dug down in contracts and paperwork, and he wants to be, the things that you review and look over, how does it fit in the bigger picture of those businesses they're involved in? So for him, it's like getting more out of just the little area that he was either responsible or accountable, consulted or informed or whatever in his pocket, and taking on more responsibilities and trying new things where there are no real rules. So sometimes I feel like especially if you're running your own thing or doing things, it's not really a job description, you know.
It's the Wild West and that's the best. That's what you want.
It's a rhyme.
That could be on a t-shirt.
On the coaster, put it on the coaster, on the stubby holders.
One of the things I've been thinking heaps about with career changes, when people ask these questions, I feel like we often think career changes and we think they need to be really dramatic, like I'm going from being a lawyer to being a physio or something really huge. But I think often it's like the smaller degree changes where it might be I'm going from being an external lawyer with clients to being general counsel, like an internal. And that's still like kind of a career change, but it changes the nature of it. You're not probably going to be doing all those billable hours. Like you have heaps, a very different experience likely internally than you would as an external client-facing lawyer. When we're talking about career changes, look for the smaller things that you could do that are like iterative. Is iterative a word that should be banned because it's like jargon?
So if you wanted to start off as a foot surgeon, then you work your way onto a heart surgeon, then a neurosurgeon.
I don't think that's how it works.
And
pediatrician.
You're going to have like $1 million in your head, Stan.
Yeah. He learned that one from YouTube.
But your analogy is right in some senses. Just
I remember going into recruitment again and I felt like all the other stuff is just done this before in a different way, but it's like the technical terms of knowing what the industry is about. Like you need to know these certain terms to be able to communicate and talk. But other than that, it's like everything else, you know.
I did the from like consulting side to converting to a perm side, and I found that experience pretty weird after being like maybe like 6 years in consulting side and then taking my first perm job in I was like, this is really weird, you know, because I'd always been in like you go to lots of different organizations and then the change up of doing the same good job but just at one place. I was like, wow.
Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I was in the cult.
Going for lunches every day with the manager. Sucking up. You're a suck up, aren't you?
Listen.
You got encouragement on the last one, and on this one,
yeah,
you're
it's
getting,
fine. Yeah. I'm used to it. It's like, this is the normal behaviour. Okay, last good. Time I got this fake, you know, it's not his authentic self.
He was his best self.
It's his best self.
So, I think when we're looking at career changes, we really do need to also test some stuff. I don't think we should just jump in. And this is where I see people make really big mistakes, or they just don't take any action because they're afraid to just take the big plunge. I think you can take smaller steps. Like for me, similar to you guys when you started the pod, like I was working in internal HR full time, started the pod as a side hustle, and then moved slowly into a different world, started my own business, which is kind of similar to your journey, should I say?
Exactly, yeah. Same.
So you kind of you test the water with something. You go, oh, cool, this is good. This is a strength that I didn't know that I had, and I'm going to use this to see where it goes, and then.
But sometimes people say jump all in. We hear that advice. You got to go all in. Mm. If you don't do it now, then.
Well, you're not serious.
It's like, hang on.
I've got a mortgage.
I've got a mortgage. I've got kids. I can't just quit and start. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Actually, and I think on the last episode we were talking about going all in, but it was a different context with like being fully invested.
It's different. Yeah, there's a difference.
I think it's – careers are complicated.
Yeah, yeah. You are, sorry. We've spoken to a guy named David Andrew who his whole thing is the No Nasties Project, and he's like, burn your boats. And recently I've been seeing a lot of advice out there is burn your boats. So you've got no other option but to fight your way out of things. So it's a dangerous way to play the game.
If you put yourself in the uncomfortable position, your brain will find a way out based on like fight or flight.
On chemistry.
That kind of makes sense though.
Yeah.
But terrifying.
Yeah, I don't know if everyone.
That's been resonating. Life, that's been resonating with me personally. But I feel like it's risk tolerance for everyone, isn't it? Really, when it comes down to it.
Yeah. Not,
are you both risk takers?
Yes, I would say.
Well, I think we have a higher tolerance of measured risks, but we're way more risky than what other people do.
Yeah. So I'm really risk averse. So I think like staging decisions for me has really worked, but like. I feel like the stuff that the space that you're playing in is really high risk in terms of heaps of huge opportunity, potential return, but you've got to be comfortable with that.
I think I lean more your way though, Shell, and I feel like the stress attached to doing some of the risky stuff and then living in the unknown where you're like something hasn't landed yet or you're waiting for something like to play out and you've, I don't know, in other jobs that might be like a day or two and you're like, oh, when's this someone getting back to us for this? It might, for us, it's like 4 weeks of living in this. Is this going to land or is this not going to hit? And you're like, that's crazy. And I don't really like it. But again, it's the nature of what we're doing. And it's like, if we don't, I really look now and I see it as an opportunity. If we go back to if you've listened to part one talking about taking an opportunity that's there in front of us, I feel like we're really, Locke and I are really conscious of, we're in a lucky position. We've got an opportunity to do some cool stuff and do some cool work, meet some cool people. And I think I'd look back negatively and be disappointed in myself if I didn't just have a crack and do what it's worth, even if it's hard.
Totally. And Tammy, I think for you in this situation, that advice is so good. Look for the opportunities that are in front of you that maybe are just that small change and start to pursue those and see what happens from there. That's my recommendation to you. One last question, and it's on mentors. Do you guys have mentors?
Not like officially. We've never had a chat with anyone and said, you're my mentor.
Will you be my mentor?
Will you be my mentor?
Reminds me of school where you had like the yes and no, like will you go out with me?
Yeah.
It's awkward.
Yeah, I was always left with no notes. Mentors, I feel like we say it quite a bit. I feel like the podcast is a little bit of a mentorship for us because I feel like we get to ask all the questions that we actually really want to know the answer to. So at the stage of our life, so getting like information from the best minds in the world has been crazy for us. But in terms
and then
of,
quoting them as your own.
Yeah. But like
Al Bradford 2022.
But someone like Chris Wilson, who we're working with at the moment, he's been someone who we had on the pod early doors and stayed in contact with, and he's helping us build and shape the Dream Big Social Club. So he's someone who we've caught up with quite regularly over the years.
I think it comes back to the same sort of question from the person who's starting as a sole trader. It's like building the right people around you. That doesn't have to be it doesn't have to be as formal as this is a mentor-mentee relationship, but like finding someone that's a bit been there, done that before, or a bit wise experience. I've had a bunch of people in my career that helped shape what I do. And another guy I'll give a shout out, Nick Pulse, who he actually got my first job he gave us an opportunity as someone who changing lanes from a different background.
And first guest episode.
He's our first guest episode of the Funny Business Podcast, and he's a friend. I definitely learned a lot from him, but he, for a long period of time, he's looked out for a lot of those around him, and he likes to give back like that. And
he lives to give. He lives old to Nick
give.
Pulse.
Yeah, he lives to give.
And so, what does he do now? What's Nick do? To give some context for the listeners.
Thanks. That's good prompting. That's very good prompting. He runs the business agility practice. So anyone who's trying to do new ways of working, technology delivery, all the aligning goals, all the same sort of stuff that, if you want to know why I sort of do some of this stuff, that's I got into it via him, and he works with some of the biggest companies in the world doing this sort of stuff. And it's pretty crazy that someone who still a human approach to stuff in big pressure situations. So he's
cool as a cucumber, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He loves himself sick though.
He's got big arms.
I think it's good though, the idea of mentors, that it doesn't have to be as formal as we'd maybe make it out to be. And it puts a lot of pressure on the mentor if you have that expectation that, can you mentor me for the next 12 months? I think you can find those people in your world and have those moments with them that are like, hey, we have this mentoring moment. It's like, for us, podcast is that, but find your version of that. Take someone out for coffee. Use that as a moment to pick someone's brain on and get their advice.
I think people love giving advice too. Like if you feel like you've got some information to give, getting asked out for lunch for someone to pick your brain, you love that. Deep down you like it because you want to give the right information.
You're just hoping to be asked out for lunch, huh?
I'm looking for a free lunch. I'm looking for paid mentorship. So if anyone needs some support, contact me. Take me out to lunch.
$2,000 an hour. That's what he charges.
A little bit more than that. A little bit more than that.
Nice. All right. Well, any final thoughts? Final unsolicited career advice?
I think everything's hard. We had Corey Homicide Williams on. That's one episode that sticks out to me. And he just said, everything's hard. Everyone's got their own version of hard. So it's like, remember to just be nice because people are fighting their own battles, you know?
I like that. Mine would be like, hopefully one day no one has to work. You know, like we do all this careers talk. We talk about it all the time. We listen to everyone's stories now. I just wish we didn't have to work. No one would.
Would you be into like living wage?
I don't know. All the scenarios doesn't matter. Haven't thought past that. I just like to sit on the beach all day and surf and eat nice food.
No, you would need purpose.
I reckon you would struggle.
Yeah, you would struggle.
As long as people are still making TV shows. So I can still consume.
6 hours a day of TV, and that's your perfect job. You could be a film critic. All right. Well, hey, thanks for hanging out. So good to be hanging out in person, in real life. Best ever. And if you enjoy the show, give us a 5-star rating or review, and you can find Rob and Locke on LinkedIn. We'll put the links in the show notes because we do show notes here, this podcast.
You're all over it. We're learning. We're learning as we
write descriptions. Yeah.
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT writes the descriptions. Love it. Perfect. All right. Thanks for hanging out.
We acknowledge the Awabakal people, traditional custodians of the land on which our studio sits, and pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to our podcast.
We love learning how to do all things well, which is why we have a bunch of different podcasts on a variety of topics. So go and check out My Millennial Investor, My Millennial Money Professional, My Millennial Property, My Millennial Money, My Millennial Daily, and Retire Right. Find these wherever you get your podcasts.